Good afternoon. I'm Bob Krueger with Thought for Food for November of 2023. This program is heard on the third Wednesday of the month at 4 p.m. and repeated on the third Saturday of the month at 3 p.m. It's intended for a blind and print-impaired audience, but hopefully it'll be of interest to everyone. Dates to remember this month: daylight saving time ends. Remember to turn your clocks back 1 hour. For some localities, this is Election Day. The 10th is the 248th birthday of the United States Marine Corps, established in 1775. The 11th is Veterans Day, when we honor all who have served in the various branches of our country's military forces. This year, Thanksgiving comes on the 23rd, and Giving Tuesday is the 28th, and I have a birthday on the 29th. The New York Cabaret Club 54 Below used to see a steady stream of orders for burgers and harder entrees, such as their chili-rubbed skirt steak with bliss potatoes or their rib-sticking pasta dishes with spinach and zucchini. These days, patrons are ordering a salad and a serving of fries as a complete meal. Yes, sometimes a leafy and healthy paired with an order of salted fried starch. If dinner was music, this is a string quartet and a side order of dead metal. Do these things really go together? Miss Boxhill added extra manpower to the salad station to keep up and said that salad and fries trend is the biggest she's seen in her 11 years in the industry. It's definitely a little peculiar. Usually you can tell what's going to order, but now the mix is definitely different. American diners have long adhered to the basic unwritten rules about what goes with what: meat and potatoes, eggs and bacon, or a dinner that starts with soup, then salad, entree, and dessert. Diners and restaurant workers say that more and more these guidelines are flung aside for menu mayhem. Fries, traditionally paired with burgers, have become salad's best friend. A starter can be had any time, while a main may be skipped altogether. Skipping larger entrees may also save money at a time when restaurant prices have climbed. Food industry consulting firm Technotic has observed an increase in customers ordering sides over the last year and estimated that 15% of diners order sides as their entree. We've gone to a space of more liberating dining, says Nia Grace, who owns three Boston restaurants, including Daryl's Corner Bar and Grill. Some customers make a reservation for dessert only or swap and choose from around the menu. They'll say, "I do this or that, and give me some of those, give me that, and I'll pair it with this, and we'll share that." She recalled one customer ordering chili, a side of cheese and Cajun fries, then proceed to make chili cheese fries right at the table. Younger diners won't be pigeonholed into one page of the menu, says Lindsay Kelso, 26, who works in digital communications and lives in Savoy, Illinois. She's a salad and fries regular. We were raised in a society where it was to eat healthy with the older generation, Ms. Kelso says. Adding salad with fries is like getting a little treat with it. The salad and fries craze speaks to an emerging connection between indulgence and mental health, says Diana Kelter, the Associate Director of Consumer Trends at the market research firm Mintel. Although indulgence is typically regarded as bad for physical health, Gen Z sees it as helpful for mental health, according to a Mintel report from May. Combining together sides also helps with portion control. India Davis, 32, a Nashville, Tennessee financial coordinator, said she noticed herself struggling to finish a full restaurant meal. On a recent visit to a cheesecake factory, she barely finished half of a cheeseburger and preferred her sides of Brussels sprouts and fries. "I don't know if me getting older or what," she said, "but I was like, this is ridiculous." She took the leftover cheeseburger home and later made it into a meal. Ordering only sides at a restaurant as an entree at a fine dining restaurant frowned upon, asked a recent poster on a Reddit forum for food service. It drew nearly 2,000 views and more than 300 comments, with most saying to order what you want. In most cases, ordering side dishes as appetizers is lame, said Adam Rayner, author of the food blog The Restaurant Manifesto. Mr. Rayner, who has worked at fine dining restaurants, says, search the menu to find cheaper meals, but the savings aren't worth it for a boring meal. He's seen people order sides of steamed broccoli and sautéed escarole that ended up unfinished. Pairing greens with greasy sticks of starch isn't entirely new. The famed Pittsburgh salad with fries on top. The current craze often involves a Caesar salad and a side of fries, maybe a Diet Coke or wine. Some fans top salads with chicken or salmon or spring for truffles if the opportunity arises. In January, Haley Schuster, a 23-year-old in Austin, Texas, posted a TikTok video captured the feminine urge to order a Caesar salad with a side of fries to the tune of This Will Be Everlasting Love, which was watched by millions of viewers. Houston, Texas, high school student Mady Charcon said she doesn't usually order salad, but tried the salad fries combo after learning about it. 5 minutes passed and the fries were halfway eaten and the salad was still there. Could this happen to you? In August, we learned that one of North Carolina's oldest barbecue restaurants had closed, but its owners hope it's not goodbye forever. Bun's Barbecue has fed generations out of a century-old Texaco service station in downtown Windsor, founded by B.B. Weathers in 1938 and sold to Wilbur and Grace Russell in 1969, Bun's announced it had closed. For decades, Bun was run by brothers Randy and Russ Russell, now in their 60s, who have operated the restaurant since the death of their father, Wilbur, in 1987. Bun's no longer has its founder. Randy said it felt like their time with the restaurant had come to an end. Our family's been here for 54 years. It's time for us to step back. There's never a good time to close, but it's the right time. And talking about closing, Randy Russell spoke about the historic restaurant not as something in the past, but rather as an institution that had paused. He said he's been contracted by parties interested in reopening Bun's. Something will happen in the near future. I believe that, he said. Bun's has been here a long time, 85 years. There are too many people around this area that can remember when Bun's wasn't there. I don't see it closed forever. Since 1970, Bun's has been famous for a cornbread sandwich, a creation once named by Garden and Gun magazine as one of the top sandwiches of the South. Mr. Russell said it was the invention of a customer. The cornbread sandwich is something different, something special, he said. A customer in the early 1970s asked for just a little barbecue between two pieces of cornbread. Then a lot of people made our cornbread sandwich famous. Bun's was one of the first barbecue restaurants that a young Adam Hughes, the owner of Edenton's old Colony Smokehouse, ever ate. To me, growing up, Bun's was the definition of barbecue, said Mr. Hughes, who was a winner of a special North Carolina Pitmaster edition of Food Network's Chopped. My granddad was a tobacco farmer, and I was eager to go to him to the tobacco market at Windsor because I know we'd go to Bun's to get a sandwich afterward. He said the barbecue at Bun's stood out for simplicity. The pork was very lightly seasoned, paired with a pickly bite of slaw. Learning about Bun's makes my mouth water. A new voice in Raleigh's dining scene will take over the space of a legend. David Ellis, the most recent chief chef of Poole's Diner, will open his first restaurant in the former Humble Pie location. The curtain fell on Humble Pie in September, ending a 30-year run as a downtown favorite. Mr. Ellis' new restaurant will be named Figulina Pasta and Provisions, an Italian concept built around fresh-made pasta and include a small market of take-home prepared foods. It's not going to feel like a classic Italian restaurant, he said. We'll try and take it and add a bit of Southern flair. Mr. Ellis grew up in England and moved to the United States in 2019 and had been at Pools for 4.5 years. He said he honed his craft on the job, working in British pubs and developing French techniques. Building on his time at Pools, the famed restaurant from Ashley Christensen, he said he hoped to use pasta as a way to highlight North Carolina in ingredients and create thoughtful, interesting dishes. He's thinking of a butter-poached North Carolina shrimp for a rich tale on the Low Country. I like using pasta as the vessel, he said, where a guest would taste it and know this is North Carolina pasta dish. Figolina in Harris, a fairly large, humble pie space, including one of Raleigh's great patios. Mr. Ellis plans to build a pasta production room with a display window where diners can see the pasta being made. The dining room will have space for about 100 guests. He hopes for a January opening, and we wish you success, Mr. Ellis. Edward Ordonez didn't plan to open a restaurant when he undertook a solo journey to the United States from his native Guatemala over 15 years ago. The family was poor, like many in Central America, farming vegetables to maintain themselves in the mountains along the border with El Salvador. His parents, with the help of four brothers, a sister, and him, raised corn and beans to buy what they couldn't produce. Our house had a big field where my mom used to plant cilantro, radishes, and cucumbers, he said. They farmed to live, to feed the family, and to sell, because the only way you could survive. He had planned to return home once he made enough money to give his family a better life, he said. But I met a wonderful woman who's my wife, and she's been the greatest wife, mother, and friend. Mr. Ordonez and his wife, Beatrice, have been married for 8 years, living in Carver with their sons, aged 6 and 2.5. He is now a permanent U.S. resident, working at Mediterranean Deli on West Franklin Street in Chapel Hill. Next year, the family embark on a culinary journey together with a few friends. The new dining place will be called El Fogon at 111 North Robertson Street. We'll have some tacos, authentic Mexican dishes, because I want our customers, when they come, to feel like they're eating at home, he said. We're going to make fresh food, fresh tortillas, everything fresh. It's scary to take the leap from working for someone else to cooking in your own restaurant, Mr. Ordonez said, but it's a dream he had after meeting his wife. His sons inspire him to keep going, he says. His first job in North Carolina was as a busboy at Southern Season. He didn't speak English, but worked his way up to dishwasher, then cook, until the job ended. He started washing dishes for Mediterranean Deli owner Jamil Cadora, but he wanted to do more, so he talked to Mr. Cadora about moving to prep cook, then to baker, and market employee, and finally to line cook. Mr. Cadora approached him about the opening El Fogon after buying the house at the corner of North Robertson and West Rosemary Streets in 2021. Med Deli is a perfect school to learn if you want to open a business. Every time I talk to Jamil, he encourages me to open a restaurant, he said. I'm going to help you any way I can. El Fogon is going to be an amazing place, I guarantee this, because I've had that food many times. When Edgar tried it in the deli, when they're going to serve all this stuff, Mr. Garora said. This restaurant, El Fogon, which means the flame, will have an upscale restaurant offering other authentic Mexican specials and a few from his native Guatemala. We wish him well in his efforts to reach this goal. Evaporated milk, we used to call it canned milk, seems like a relic from the past. And amid mantras of eating fresh, local, organic, we can have a can of a shelf-stable dairy product. Yet this little can packs so much utility, versatility, and convenience that it's in a class of its own. If evaporated milk is an anomaly to you, here's why you should consider to add a can or two to your grocery list. Evaporated milk is exactly what the name implies. Cow's milk that had some, about 60% of its water removed. The evaporation process results in a richer milk that has a slightly caramelized, toasty nuttiness to it. In addition to the flavor, the shelf-stable can means you can head to your pantry anytime you need a bit of creamy dairy instead of hoping the carton in the refrigerator hasn't spoiled yet. I said buy stock in evaporated milk as much as I use it and love it, says food blogger Marta Rivera Diaz. I think evaporated milk is the most underrated coffee creamer, and friends swore I was using some expensive coffee creamer. She also said it's her favorite ingredient to add a rich flavor to mashed potatoes. Aaron Hutchinson, the writer of this story, said this: I grew up watching my dad pour evaporated milk into his coffee when we were out of his favorite creamer. It's also great to add to breakfast porridge for extra creaminess. It can be thinned with water to use over cereal in a pinch and makes great pasta sauces with fewer calories than heavy cream. One of my fondest memories is of my mother is her using evaporated milk with Velveeta to make her ultra creamy macaroni and cheese. Evaporated milk was invented at the beginning of the 19th century, thanks to Napoleon and his need for transportable food to feed his French soldiers. Across the Atlantic and the United States, following updates to the process, evaporated milk started to be manufactured commercially in 1885. It grew to become the single largest canned food item sold in the country in the mid of the 20th century, according to the American Dairy Science Association. But in the decades that followed, an overall increase in milk production, coupled with a simultaneous decline in the consumption of cow's milk, made shelf-stable milk less, and evaporated milk's popularity fell. Evaporated milk is a staple in many Puerto Rican and Latino homes, as is the base for many of the desserts, such as flan bread pudding and tres leches cake, Rivera Diaz said. Additionally, one of Puerto Rico's most noted holiday drinks, coquito, is made with evaporated milk, among others. Warm cereals are also recipes we use with evaporated milk. To say it's an important ingredient in the Latino kitchen is a gross understatement. You can easily find evaporated milk in the baking supplies aisle in most supermarkets in 2% or fat-free varieties. Be careful not to confuse it with sweetened condensed milk, which is basically evaporated milk with sugar added. They are not interchangeable. Unopened, the cans last at least a year on the pantry shelf, which is great for people like me who don't typically keep milk, cream, or half and half in their refrigerator, and for people who keep a stock pantry for stone preparedness. The best-by date can give you an idea of the milk's age, but if you open a can, give it a good shake first, and it's darker than the expected, you'll race off-white color, smells bad, or curdled, don't use it. Once open, manufacturers recommend you refrigerate any leftovers in an airtight container and use in a few days. You transform evaporated milk into a substitute for regular milk, simply add an equal amount of water. Depending on the recipe, you can use evaporated milk for a richer result. It makes an excellent sub for half and half in many cases, but remember that evaporated milk has less fat and more protein than half and half. When it comes to heavy cream, you can use the same amount of the evaporated milk, but remember evaporated milk isn't as thick, nor does it contain as much fat as cream. The only flaw in this story is that the regular 12-ounce can has been reduced to 11 ounces. Are you among those who swear by iced coffee even in the middle of winter? You're hardly alone. Nearly a quarter of coffee shop customers are drinking the cold offering every single day, according to a report by the research and consultancy firm Allegra World Coffee Portal. That's up 17% from last year. The younger you are, the more likely you are to take your caffeine cold. The Allegra survey of more than 5,000 consumers found that almost 8 of every 10 buyers was under the age of 35, purchased a drink at least once a week. The iced beverages have become such a craze that segment is helping U.S. coffee shops bounce back from a COVID hit, and the industry is now topping pre-pandemic levels. Half of the industry leaders now consider cold coffee to be the most important market trend currently, the firm said. Coffee shops in the United States have reached a higher market value where they were before the pandemic. Sales momentum is forecasted to continue with the popularity of industry leaders surveyed expecting improved conditions next year. Backed by popular demand, a bakery home to four other locations in Cary is reopening its store in Fuquay Varina. La Farm Bakery opened in Cary in 1999 and has since expanded around the town at the Raleigh-Durham Airport. The bakery set up shop in Fuquay Varina in 2021, but closed the next year. Now it will be reopening at its original building in Fuquay Varina at 1900 Broad Street. La Farm announced the plans in a Facebook post, saying the reopened shop will be the bakery's fifth location in the Triangle and will be open daily from 7:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. The shop will have indoor and outdoor seating, hot and cold sandwiches, cakes, European artisanal breads and pastries like Master Baker Lionel Vente's signature sourdough bread and white chocolate baguettes. He was trained in France's Artisan Guild. He produces 15 styles of bread and 20 seasonal breads throughout the year. They also had a bread truck at this year's North Carolina State Fair. Who among you does not like cheese? The Wisconsin license plate that passed by said, "Say cheese." More than 180 years ago, Wisconsin farmers began making cheese to preserve excess milk from their cows. Today, according to the USDA, Wisconsin is the top cheese-producing state, followed by California, Idaho, and New Mexico. How does this cultural diverse food fit into a healthy diet? Cheeses in the dairy group, one of the core elements that make up a healthful diet or pattern, according to the 2020 to 2025 Dietary Guidelines for Americans. And while this report recommends lower-fat versions, some intriguing research suggested traditional cheeses may also be reasonable choices. Natural cheese is a fermented food made with milk, salt, probiotics, a.k.a. Good bacteria, and rennet, an enzyme that causes milk protein to form curds. A 2022 review in the journal Microorganisms included cheese as a traditional fermented food. Studies from around the world say these authors have revealed strong associations between fermented foods and reduced risk of heart disease, diabetes, as well as a lower risk of death. Cheese is also a significant source of saturated fat, which we are called to limit in our diets. Evidence is emerging, however, that we may need to judge the saturated fat in foods by the company they keep. For example, a 2022 research article in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition reported a higher intake of saturated fat from dairy foods had less impact on heart disease than lower intake of these foods, especially in men. While not significant, the same intake of saturated fat from non-dairy foods did not have the same favorable outcomes. How can this be? We don't know for sure, but some research suggests the mix of calcium and other nutrients in cheese may reduce how much fat we absorb from these foods, says the National Dairy Council, a nonprofit research and education organization. Remember to be on the safe side. A serving of cheese is about 1.5 ounces, or 1/3 of a cup shredded. As always, moderation is the key. What's your favorite kind of cheese? Are you forgetful? From time to time, we all are. Often I try to remember an incident or someone's name and cannot. This is frustrating, but research suggests that the ability to maximize memory function may be related to what we may eat. Following an eating plan that provides a healthier selection of dietary fats and a variety of plant foods rich in phytonutrients. Phytonutrients are substances found in certain plants that are believed to be beneficial for human health and help prevent certain diseases. Diets rich in fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, fish, healthier fats, herbs, and seeds boost the brain's memory functioning. Let's look at each category. Fruits. Berries are high in antioxidants that can produce the brain from oxidative damage and prevent premature aging and memory-impairing dementia. Blueberries are a rich sort of several flavonoids that may improve brain function. Vegetables. Beets are rich in nitrates, a natural compound that can dilate blood vessels, allowing more oxygenated blood to reach the brain. The question I have for you is this. When was the last time you ate a beet? Dark leafy greens are known for their antioxidants, such as vitamin C, and have been shown to reduce age-related memory loss. Greens are also rich in folate, which can improve memory by decreasing inflammation and improving blood circulation to the brain. Whole grains and legumes. Cracked wheat, whole grain couscous, chickpeas, oats, sweet potatoes, and black beans are examples of complex carbohydrates. Since brain cells run on glucose derived from carbohydrates and don't store excess glucose, they need a special steady supply of it. Complex carbohydrates are a preferred brain food, providing a slow, sustained supply of glucose. They take longer to metabolize and are high in folate, the memory-boosting B vitamin. Seafood. Fatty fishes such as salmon, trout, mackerel, herring, sardines, pilchards, and kippers are rich in heart-healthy omega-3 fatty acids. They have been shown to improve memory if eaten one or two times a week. Omega-3 fatty acids don't affect low-density LDL cholesterol and can lower triglycerides. Shellfish and crustaceans such as oysters, mussels, clams, crayfish, shrimp, and lobster are good sources of vitamin B12, a nutrient involved in preventing memory loss. We need to be careful about how we prepare seafood so we don't use too much saturated fat in the process. Herbs and seeds. Coca seeds are a rich source of flavonoid antioxidants, which are especially important in preventing damage from LDL, the bad kind of cholesterol. Protect artery lining and preventing blood clots. We've run out of time for this episode of Thought for Food. This has been Bob Kruger reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. If you have any questions or comments, please call us at 919-832-5138. 919-832-5138.